Praise God. If you have your Bible, turn with this evening to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, I want to look at one verse of Scripture. You know, I just want to follow the Lord tonight if He's as He's a leading. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Amen. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. The Bible says, "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now the disciples is asking the Lord. They said, "Lord, we know these things that's coming to pass." He said, "When's it going to take place? When's it going to happen? When's the end of the world?" In other words, they said, "When's the course of this age going to be fulfilled?" They was asking the Lord Jesus that. And I reckon they was asking right, because He's the only one that knows. Amen. Me and you don't know when the end's coming, but praise God, we know it's on the way. We know that it's coming. We know it ain't going to be too long, praise God. There's going to be a trump and a shout. Me and you, hey, all those that's born again is going out of here. And I want to preach just a few minutes tonight. I've got to be my help on this style. The beginning or the end. The end or the beginning. God knows. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're serving a sovereign God. A God that knows everything there is to know about everything. There's nothing that takes Him by surprise. Amen. I don't know about you, that thrills my soul to know I'm serving a God like that. I'm serving God that, amen, no matter what circumstance comes up in my life, He knows about it. He knows about it before it ever happens. You know what a preacher, if he does, why does He let us go through these things? Because He just does. Amen. He does it just to see how we'll handle it. See if we'll just keep giving Him. I believe if we kept our eyes on the Lord in our situations, praise God, I believe that God just used us to be a blessing in His name, to give Him glory, amen. And I believe it'd bless our heart, and it wouldn't keep us too long down there in the mully grub to where we'd get way back up here again. Just come out, praise God, instead of a pow with a shout, and say, "Glory to God, I'm looking for the light at the end of the tunnel." Amen. So disciples was asking the Lord when the course of this age was going to play out. And Jesus said, when He had already laid it out for them that they might see. And I'd like to lay it out just a little bit tonight, if God will be our help, for just a little while. If you look back in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord laid this thing out pretty much like a ladder for them to see the course of this age. In other words, Pastor, what are you calling the course of the age? I'm talking about the timeline, how this thing plays out. And He says in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 1, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside." Now I want to say there's significance in everything that God says. There's nothing in the holy right of God, in His King James Bible, that God says just to be saying. We see here in Matthew 13, in verse 1, He says the same day. That's a special day. And it says that went Jesus out of the house. You know what it's talking about there? It's that He had come to the Jew first, and the Jew wouldn't have nothing to do with Him. Came to His own received Him not. Amen? So Jesus turns in Matthew 10. Now remember, Matthew is writing to the Jew. Amen? Matthew's writing to the Jew to give the Jews the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it's for all of us. Amen. But He was writing primarily to the Jew at that time. And He said, you know what? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, Jesus says, "All right, I came to my own received me not." He said, so praise God. He said, "I'm stepping out." So it means when it says he went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now that word "sat," that's what royalty does. Royalty sits as on a throne. Amen. And when it speaks of going to the seaside, anytime it speaks of the sea, it usually representing the Gentile nations. Amen. Just about anywhere from Genesis on through, when it speaks of the sea, it's usually speaking of Gentile nations. So He goes out and He sits as a king, praise God, as majesty to speak and to look over a Gentile nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see Him here, and He said a great multitude were gathered together unto Him. So they went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So you see this picture. Jesus goes in, He gets in the ship, He casts off a little bit, and He begins to teach. And he begins to give these parables, and these parables are the course of the age. Jesus is fixing to tell them in Matthew chapter 13 how this thing's going to play out step by step. Amen? To the Jew, it was a mystery. They had no idea. But Jesus begins to speak to them in parables. What are parables? Parables are truths that God speaks out through examples. Amen. That He shows, it's not could-be's, but it's examples of truth that He's going to show. Amen. So when Jesus speaks of these parables, He's speaking in truths. He's looking at real life. I believe when Jesus looked up there, Brother Dean, and He looked up on the hill sitting on that boat, and He looked up across the hill, I believe He's seen maybe somebody up there, in a little old garden, sowing some seed. Amen? He saw him sowing seed. He said, you know what? That'd be a good example. So Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 22, He gives us the parable of the sower. Amen? He gives the parable of the sower. He said there'll be sowing of seeds throughout the world. Now He's speaking, sowing a seed. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He said that sowing that seed, it would go forth. And He says when it goes, he said that gospel would go out. See, I want to say the gospel never was meant to stay in one place. Do you know the church has never been as strong as when the church is under persecution? Amen? If Nero would have left the church alone in Jerusalem, they would have stayed in Jerusalem. But he began the persecution, and when he began the persecution, people began to go out. Philip went out. Remember Philip? Went over to the Samaritan. He said, dude, you know what? I'll go over. And I think that's kind of ironic because Philip goes to the Samaritan, and they wouldn't have nothing to do with the Jew. And the Jew wouldn't have nothing to do with them. But I believe Philip said, you know what? Praise God, I know some people that need to know Jesus. And he said, I don't think old Nero will think about looking for me up there. Amen. So he goes up there to Samaria and begins to preach to those up there, and those that was half Jew, half Gentile. They was a mixed up people. And you begin to preach the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. And they begin to fall in there and get saved. He said, in the course of this age, said, folks, the word of God is going to have to start going out into the world. He said, that seed will have to be sowed. Now, I want to say, I believe the seed's been sowed in the whole world. I don't believe there's anywhere in this world. I know there's not anywhere in this world that the gospel hasn't gone out. He said, well, preacher, there's places it hasn't been preached. I want to say, there's nowhere that the radio and satellite won't reach to now. Amen? I'm talking about everywhere in the world the gospel can go out. And we see the gospel going out, the word of God going out. Now, it may do like it does here. Some of the seed may fall by the wayside and some in hard places and some might spring up in stony places. But I will say, the Word of God goes out and it continues to go out. Amen? Day by day, week by week. I mean, you turn your radio on, praise God, there's all kind of gospel stations now preaching the gospel. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that Word was going out. In the parable here, He gives us Word. He says some of it, and He's speaking of hearts here. This ground that He's speaking of is different hearts. He said there's some hard hearts. He said there's some shallow hearts. He said there's some worldly hearts. Amen? And He said how the seed goes out, it depends on what heart it lands on, is how it takes root. I don't know about you, but I want to have a fertile heart. I want to have a heart, praise God, some man of God gets up and preaches to my heart, for the thus says the Word of God, amen, I want it to take root and grow. I want it to be fruitful in my life. And that's what Jesus was to tell them here. He goes on and goes through the different soils that it lands on and the different things that it bears. And He says in verse 9, He said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. In other words, what He says, He said, if you can hear the Word of God, He said, then listen closely. Pay attention to what God's got to say, because God will give you intelligent guidance. He'll give you the things you need to know, amen, to make decisions. He'll point you in the right direction, and He'll help you get to where you need to go. Amen. He said, those that can hear, who? Those that have ears. How many of you has got ears? Amen. He said, well, then listen to God. Listen to what God's going to say to you, because it'll be important. Because if we'll listen to God, He said, then God will make us fruitful. Amen? He said He'll make us where we produce fruit. I got to look at this. I got to think about this. In verse 8 it says, He said, but other fell into good ground. Talk about that good seed. Fell into good ground and said, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, I don't know how many of you is farmers in here, but in FFA, they teach you that when you plant a seed, if you can get an 8-to-1 ratio on your seed that you plant, pray God, you're doing good. Amen? An 8-to-1 ratio is wonderful. That's fruitful. Amen? But God said, hey, listen. He said, glory be to God. He said, if there's some good seed for that seed that's sown, because we know, glory to God. He said, we know the seed is good. Amen? Because we know the sower.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Pray God, we know where it comes from, and we know if that seed gets in some good ground, praise God, it'll produce 30 and 60 or 100-fold.
Amen.
Amen. So the ratio's not 1 and 8, but praise God, it's 1 and 30. And if for every seed that's planted, glory be to God, what if you planted one kernel of corn and it was 30 years on the stalk?
Right.
Glory be to God. Well, what if you planted one kernel of corn and it was 100 years on the stalk? Amen. You say, preacher, that's impossible. I won't say, glory be to God. That's because we sell God short. Nothing's impossible with God. Amen. Glory be to God. Hey, if we trust God, He needed the lettuce, He could grow a cornstalk. Glory be to God. And if we'd have to have a chainsaw to cut down. Amen. Praise God. I said that to say this, glory be to God. If we trust the Lord, when He's sowing that seed in our heart and we fertilize it, we get that thing nourished. You know how you do it? You confess your sins and ask God to forgive you and help you, praise God, to absorb His Word. To take it to ourselves, be more of what He wants us to be. We all need that. Amen. So when we go out and folks like Brother Rex talked about a while ago, they see our light shine. So that there won't be no darkness at all in us. Amen. That old hard heart's taken out of there. And a heart of flesh, praise God, put in. A heart that's able to absorb the things of God and thrive on the things of God. Praise the Lord. So we can begin to be productive. He said in the age, that first age is church age. See, they was going out in the whole world and compelling folks to come in. Amen. Praise God. They was everywhere they went, they was preaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hadn't been long since He had ascended up in the cloud, praise God. They remembered that. Amen. But you know what happens to us? We get around God's things and God's people and we get saved. But if we ain't very careful, it ain't very long, do we forget what God done for us. We began to take it for granted. Amen? But they didn't take it for granted, praise God. They just kept preaching the Word. Kept heralding the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. He begins to tell them that they didn't understand. He begins to break it down for them. He said, it's just a good God of glory doing what the good God of glory does. Amen? Praise the Lord to the increase of people. Amen? And then He gives us in verse 24 through 30 the parable of the tares. Amen? We see that God begins to give the increase and some get in, some get halfway in, some wither, some fade away. But praise God, there's some that yield fruit. But He said when they begin to yield fruit, He said there'll be some that'll have some counter sowing going on. Amen? He said there'll be some counter sowing going on and He gives that explanation for that. But He said that in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed goodly seed in his field. Amen. Now I want to say right here, He's not talking here, the goodly seed He's talking about here, He's not talking about the Word of God now. He's talking, Brother X, about godly people. Amen. He's talking about those that's out there. The Word's already gone. It's been going out through all the world. And He said, now, praise God, it goes out, and it goes out through people. See, we got to get this mindset out of our head that the preacher's going to preach it, and everybody in the world's going to hear it. But I want to say, hey, listen, I can't preach it to everybody in the world. That's why He said we got to go out into the highways and the hedges, pray God, and compel them to come in. And we do that by praising God when we're out there. I mean, it gets to be so real in their life, people want to come around just to hang out with to see if what we got to rub off on them.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, I like to be around God's people. I like to be around encouragement, pray God. I like to be around godliness. But He said these are the good seed that's sowed in His field. Talking about the world, amen. Talking about God's field. And he said, while men slept, see, if we ain't careful, we'll get rocked into a slumber. I think we've done that for several years. We've been locked into a slumber things just keep coming along. We had Woodstock and the hippie movement and the peace thing. I tell you, every time I see that peace symbol, it tears me all to pieces. People think, well, that just means, that just means peace. You know what peace means to that bunch? It means leave me alone, let me do what I want to do. That's what it means. Don't you tell me that there's a right and a wrong. Let me just live as I want to. That symbol, a peace symbol with that circle around it, is a symbol of a broken cross. The witches stood in there and broke it downward and said, we'll not rejoice and we'll not remember God. Amen. That's what that peace symbol stands for, is rebellion against God and godliness. So next time you go to the store and your youngin' wants to get one, sew it on the seat of their britches, say, no way are you going to do that. Amen. Praise God. I ain't going to disrespect God. Surely ain't going to disrespect the cross of God. Amen. What he said, what happened, he said, they're infiltrating. They're coming in. Those tires, the enemy came in and done that. Who's the enemy of the church today? The devil. Amen. The devil is the enemy of the church. He don't like us much. Amen. I don't know about you, I don't like him much either. Amen. But he said that, he gives in the explanation here in verses 36 through 42. Amen. That he said, while men slept, while we got caught slumbering, amen, got caught idling for God, but what we've done, if we ain't careful, we get to running along as Christians, and sometimes, too many times, we kick it neutral. Amen. Have you ever just clutched it and let her roll? Amen. If we ain't careful, that's what we do. We'll just clutch it. We'll kick it out of gear and we'll just let her roll. Amen. That's what my brother calls it. He calls it clutching it. And if we ain't very careful, we'll get caught up in that thing and we'll just kick her out of gear and we'll just sit idle for a while. I won't say there's no place to idle for a child of God. Man, praise the Lord, we need to be pressing on for the good cause of Christ. Because if we get caught slumbering, the enemy comes in. That's why we said we have to be vigilant. And he sowed tares among the wheat, verse 25. And see, he just sows the tares. He just infiltrates, and then he presses on. Goes about his business. He could care less what happens in your midst. He could care less if it tears you all to pieces. Amen. He just sows those tires in the midst and he goes on. You know, history tells us in 33 A.D. that a man by the name of Constantine, you ever heard of Constantine, Emperor Constantine? He said that they was under a whole lot of persecution. The church was under persecution and a lot of church was under persecution. Man, it was growing. I mean, just leaps and bounds, amen. When a persecution came, the church of people, true born again believers, pulled together, amen, had all things common and they pressed on for God. Devil was trying his best to infiltrate, but praise God, he couldn't infiltrate, he couldn't get a foothold, so you know what he did? He had the Emperor Constantine, he had an edict he brought up, and he said, from now on, the religion of the nation, the religion of Rome, will be Christianity. And what he did, he brought in under the envelope all that mess that was in the world and combined it in one, amen, and the devil's having him a heyday with that today. See, if the devil can't persecute you and beat you down, praise God, the best thing, the next thing he can do is infiltrate. Amen. So he infiltrated them. Praise God. He joined, that's what he said, that Satan joined the church. Basically, he joined the church. He said, okay, I can't beat you, I'll just join you. Amen. He's been keeping his nose in, keeping it stirred up since. Amen. I won't say the church at Rome done more to tear up Christianity than ever took place in this world. Killed more true born again believers than anybody. Amen. And we got one now, a Jesuit a priest. He was a Jesuit. He's a mafia man for Rome, praise God. And he's sitting as Pope today. Dictating. Pulling this thing together. Beginning the new world order. Amen. Some folks was telling us Sunday night that they said that it started on January 1st this year. I didn't know that. I'm going to have to research that. They said, yeah, said it was that the New World Order began on January 1 of this year. I'm like, wow. But the Pope was over just a while back, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "We." He said, "This climate, warming climate." He said, "We've got to come together in order to save the planet." See, the devil will use anything. He said, "We've got to come together. This global warming. So we've got to come together and stop it, or we'll destroy ourselves." So he's going to use that to draw all nations together. Common cause, one purpose. That's what the devil's doing. That's the devil. He's infiltrating the church. Praise God. But I want to say he won't infiltrate the true church. But the Bible goes on in verse 31, talks about the parable of the mustard seed. Amen. In verse 31, the parable of the mustard seed, he talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree. But now watch this. So that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. I will say birds in the Bible always represents evil. Amen? So what kind of tree did he plant? A man-made tree. Notice this tree, this mustard seed, it wasn't planted to God. But he said, which a man took and sowed in his field. Amen? The field of the world. He sowed it in God's world. That God owns, that God controls. And it became this seed became a great tree. I'm afraid today we've got a lot of outward growth in Christianity in the world. We've got a lot of big mega churches growing into enormous things all over the country. And they're drawing crowds by leaps and bounds, amen, with their games and their gimmicks and their gadgets, and folks is flowing through them, amen, to see what they can get and to be entertained. But there's no God in them. Amen. It's a place where the birds come to roost. In other words, it's where evil's okay. Where people can live like the devil, amen, and be made to feel okay about it. That's not a church. Amen. If a church makes you feel good about your sin, then it's not a church. Not the church. Amen. It's an imposter. Amen. It's an imposter. Praise God. We should never feel good about our sins. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 33 through 35, he gives the parable of the leaven. So see, he's talking about the caution here that he gives us of corruption. He said we got to be careful that corruption don't come into the church. In other words, we got to watch what we believe. We got to watch what we take in. We got to watch what we connect up with. Because if we ain't careful, he said a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. What it does, that leaven's like the birth. It always speaks of evil. That's why when they had bread in the times of sacrifice, it was unleavened bread. Amen. The fleshliness, the worldliness, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life was left out of it. Amen. So it'd be brought before God, and God could take it, praise God, unto Himself as an offering that would bring Him glory. So we see this leaven that's brought in, and he says, what happens? That leaven comes into wheat, and it permeates the whole loaf. Amen? A little leaven get in there, and it corrupts it all. Now I've heard preachers preach this and say, yeah, a little leaven said, that gospel getting in there, boy, and it's saving souls. It's not talking about the gospel saving souls. It's talking about wickedness destroying lives. Amen? It permeates the whole lump. And it's like, hey, it all has to be thrown out. None of it's any good. Amen? See, it just takes just a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. That's why we church have to be vigilant all the time. Because some little old something, the devil can sneak it, and he don't need but just a crack. And he can come in, and a little bit of leaven, if he can get in, praise God, it'll destroy the whole bunch. He'll get us to fuss and fight and bicker against each other. And next thing you know, praise God, he'll tear us all to pieces. And he would like nothing better than to do that and destroy this work and destroy your life and destroy your family, destroy this community, and destroy everything about Stony Fork Baptist Church. Amen. Because we've got a light and a witness. Amen. These people say, well, you know what? They believe. They're standing on the stuff. They're staying with the truth. Why people all around us is compromised. Stony Fork Baptist Church is staying with the truth. They're staying with God. Amen. Why are we doing that? Because we don't let the leaven in. Because a little leaven will destroy the whole lump. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see a caution here against that. Praise God, we keep it pure. And when we keep it pure, it preserves the gospel. Amen. Amen. It keeps the leaven out and the gospel is preserved. Praise God, it's preserved just like it should be. In verse 44, the Bible says he speaks of that parable, the hidden treasure. Amen. Now notice this, his hidden treasure. His hidden treasure, it was hid in the field. Amen. And he said, in which when a man found it, had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all he hath and buyeth that field. Amen. So here he's talking in this parable here. He's talking pretty much about the nation Israel. And he come in and he found the nation Israel. He found the nation Israel in the world. Amen. Just the same place he found me and you. And he hides it in his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That was their chosen people. God's heart's love was the nation of Israel, and it still is. Amen. He said, his heart's love is the most important part of who he was. Amen. It becomes the most important part. So we see Israel, he found Israel in the world, and Jesus paid the price for them, that great price. He paid for that little nation of Israel, and he paid for me and you. Amen. That was that hidden treasure. Praise God. It was hid in the world. And the world knew it not. Amen. And then we have the parable of the great price. Verses 45 through 46. Amen. And that's where God begins to gather in as he's sitting there on Caesar. He begins to gather in that peculiar people. Those that act peculiar. Those that used to be alienated from God. Amen. He begins to get them. He begins to woo the Gentile nation. And he begins to win them. Praise God. They begin to shout his praises. Peter begins to preach and folks begin to get in. He goes over there in Acts chapter 10 to Cornelius' house. Cornelius said, I seen an image in a dream. He said, go up there and get Peter and he'll tell you what you need to do. Amen. He's a devout man. He sent, you remember this, you know the story. He went up there and sent them servants up there and they told Peter, said, you got to come down here. Cornelius' house, he said, come and get you. Peter said, all right, by then in the morning. The next morning, he got up and he went with them. He got down to Cornelius' house. He said, hey, you know, it's unlawful for me to be here, but said, God done told me that nothing is common or unclean. Amen. Said, that sheet done come down, went up three times. He prayed, God showed me. He said, there's nothing common and unclean. Amen. So he said, praise God, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about it. And he begins to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody, hey, the Holy Ghost of God fell on those Gentiles. Amen. Praise God. They begin to proclaim, amen, in other tongues, in different languages, praise God, the good God of glory, so that everybody in the room would know who he was. Amen. Bless his holy name. So we see that pearl, a great price. Amen. That price that was paid for old sinners, praise God. That price that was way that was made so that we could get in. So that we wouldn't be left out as God begins to gather a peculiar people. And then he tells us, number 7, about that parable of the dragnet. He's talking about that collection day. Amen. When God will gather them up, amen, unto judgment. And he said again, verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea. Amen. That world. And gathered of every kind. Which when it was full, now that speaks of being complete, finished, to shore, sat down and gathered. Now see, there he is sitting again. Amen. A place of judgment. And gather the good in the vessels and cast the bad away. Amen. In other words, those that had value, he took to himself. Remember we preached on that, I believe, just a little while back? Those things that's valuable. Praise God, that thief in the night, he's coming for to get him for himself. He said, so shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come and sever the wicked from among the just. Shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Amen. They said, do you understand? They said, yeah, we got it now. We understand the parables. We understand what you're saying. The Jews don't, the world don't, but we do. Amen. God said, I've given to you the mystery of the course of the world. He said, I've explained it from the beginning to the end. Amen. And from the end to the beginning, praise the Lord. He said, I'll give you what you need to know. He said, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. I like it right there. You know what Jesus is saying? He said the old and the new. Speaking of the Word of God, it becomes one. Amen? He said you can't have one without the other. The old, the new, praise God. He said they come together to make what God, that finished work of God. He said, and that's the end. Amen? The beginning from the end from the beginning. Praise God. He said, God knows it from the end. In Isaiah 48 and 3, the Lord says this, a servant God of glory. He said, I have declared the former things from the beginning. Amen? He said, I've proclaimed it. He said, everything there is to know. He said, I've told you about it. Amen? And then it's like I hear the Lord in verse at the end of chapter 13, the Lord says, the end. Amen? As He finished up His parables here by the seashore. Amen? The beginning from the end. He said, this is the way it's going to play out. If you look at Revelation, in Revelation it talks about seven churches. And if you'll go back and study this, we ain't got time to go over it now. I was going to do just a little bit, but we ain't going to take time to do that. But if you go back and study the book of Revelation, he talks about the seven churches, and you can see the seven churches falling in right into these courses of the age that Jesus was telling about in Matthew chapter 13. Amen? Matthew chapter 13. He reveals it to the churches right there in Revelation. Amen? When he begins to lay it out for those churches. Those are courses of ages. Amen? And I believe we're living in the Laodicean church age. We're a Laodicean church age. But I want to say we're not a Laodicean church. We're the church of Philadelphia. You know what that means? The church of Philadelphia. You know what that means? The church of brotherly love. Amen? Amen? The church of Laodicea, those that's unconcerned. Those that alienate themselves from true God. Those that said, you know what, we're doing pretty good without it. But we're the church of Philadelphia. We're the church of brotherly love. We still love each other and we love God supremely and we're pressing on to the mark. Amen. High calling, praise God. From the beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning, God said, this is the way it's going to be. He said, it's already played out. He said, just where are you going to fit in? Amen.